Good evening, everyone. It's been almost 2 years since I've been able to actually gavel us into session in person. You are at the Monday, March 14th, 2022, Grover Beach City Council. We are back in person. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the chambers. So you will notice this is a vastly different chamber than the last one we were in. Just as we were going into the pandemic, this chamber was actually in the process of being renovated. And as you see before us, it is now completely renovated. We've got staff seating to the right and to the left, depending upon which perspective you're seated at. New dais with three new council members. Unfortunately, Mayor Pro Tem Bright won't be joining us tonight, but the other three folks to my left and to the right are newly elected council members that have not been in this chambers before. Obviously, they've been doing the great work of the city since the pandemic, but this is our first meeting in person. So thank you very much. We are very excited to have you back. So we will start by saying that this meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. We do have a call-in feature tonight for a, kind of a hybrid for the purposes of public comment. So you can call in still at 805-321-6639. And as always, that phone line is now open. So we do start with a moment of silence and kind of in honor or in memoriam, I should say, of the time that we've spent away from this chambers. I do want to encourage everyone to rise for a moment of silence and remember the close to 1 million people who have died due to COVID-19 in the United States. Thank you, everyone, for that moment of silence. So next, we do go and have our flag salutes. And with the fact of us being in person, during the meetings, we've always had a single person saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So now I would love to invite everybody to, as loud and as clearly as you would, please join us all in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. Please take a seat. So just before we do a roll call, I did want to invite anyone who does have public comment to share during the course of the meeting that is in the chambers. We do have blue speaker slips over by the door. Just go ahead and pass them over to our staff table, and they'll make sure that they come up to here. So with that, though, I will go and ask our city clerk, Wendy Sims, for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright is absent. Mayor Lee.
Here. So we do have a quorum, and so we will go ahead and proceed. So with that, let me turn next to our city attorney, Mr. David Hale, for any closed session announcements, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We do not have any closed session announcements for this evening.
Very good. Thank you so much. Next, that will take us to our agenda review, where at this moment, the council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests from staff or make announcements regarding any changes to the order of the day. If there are no changes, we should I'll accept a motion to proceed with the agenda either as presented or as revised. So let me check to my left, see if any changes to the agenda. To my right?
No, sir.
Let me verify with staff, no requested changes. Very good. Then I'll go ahead and accept a motion to proceed with the agenda as posted.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as posted.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good. We will go ahead and proceed with the agenda as posted, which takes us to our presentation calendar this evening. It is one of those moments, again, that we wanted to take kind of a quick pause and kind of introduce some folks that have been around in the background. You may not have seen them from the community standpoint, but they've been doing the great work of city staff and the great work of the city during the course of this pandemic. So with that, let me turn it over to our city manager, Mr. Matt Bronson, for the introduction of new employees that have been hired since March of 2020.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. Good evening to you. It's good to be home, back here in the People's Chamber. It's been 2 long years. In fact, it was this meeting 2 years ago that was our last in-person meeting before we had to go virtual given the public health emergency that we were facing. We've spent 2 years in the virtual environment for health and safety reasons, but it's good to be back here together again in the council chamber. We want to take a moment and introduce new employees who have joined the city family since March of 2020. Typically, we do bring new employees to each council meeting so that they can be recognized to the council and to the public that they're serving. We haven't been able to do that in person for the last 2 years, so we're making up for lost time and introducing the 20 new employees who have started since March of 2020. We have a number of them in the audience here this evening. I'd like to go down one by one, and when I call your name, if you can just please stand if you aren't standing already, and then if you can hold an applause until the end, and then after that, I would like to invite them to come up to the dais and take a picture with the council like we used to do, taking pictures before the council. So I'll do this in alphabetical order of department. First, Administrative Services, Simon Karapetian, our IT assistant. Michael Derry, Accounting Technician Temporary. In the City Manager's Office, Kristen Erickson, Deputy City Manager. In Parks and Recreation, Madison Ochoterena, Recreation Coordinator. In Police, we have a number of them here. Waleed El Saeed, Police Officer. Lauren Finkbeiner, Police Analyst. Brian Millard, Commander. Bryce Moses, Police Officer. James Monroe, Commander. Roberto Polito, Police Officer. Felix Ramirez, Police Officer. Caleb Scherer, Police Officer. Laura Vintage, Administrative Assistant. Ryan Wade, Police Officer and now Sergeant. And Francesca Zenkner, Police Officer. And then lastly, in Public Works, Admir Garcia, Maintenance Worker. Gabriel Munoz Morris, Senior Engineer. Jorge Romero, Maintenance Worker. And Eric Rulius, Maintenance Worker. If you can please recognize our new employees and give them a round of applause. It's a very talented crew of new employees joining our very talented city workforce, and I'm delighted to officially present them to the City Council.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. So just before we bring everybody up for a quick photo, I do want to say thank you, welcome, and it's very much appreciated that you are here. I know two quick stories. I know there's probably tons of them. So Madison Ochoterena started pretty much 3 days before the pandemic hit. She got hired. She got brought on board and then immediately started telecommuting. So and then she's been doing great work in the Parks and Rec division. So, and then Kristen Erickson, our deputy city manager, was literally the last presenter, I believe, before we closed our doors. She was here to represent, I believe, the census data item before the council that evening. And now we are very happy to have her as our deputy city manager, along with everyone else that was introduced tonight. Thank you for the work that you're doing and the careers that you will have with the city. It is a great place to live, work, and play. So with that, please, everybody, come join us up here for a photo. And before we conclude that item, let me see if any of my colleagues want to say a few words about the presentation. To my right.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome very much. Nice to have you here. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate everyone being here. I know you joined during a difficult time, but so really glad that you decided to bring your talents here to Grover Beach.
It's truly amazing to see everybody here finally after 2 years. But seriously, 2 years. I don't know. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for getting us through the last 2 years as well as we have. And I look forward to many, many more years of growth with you all. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. So that will take us to our public communications, where at this time the council will allow public communication with additional time at the conclusion of our regular business items if necessary. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So if you would, if you're in the chamber, I will call you forward in just a moment. But then I also do want to invite folks to call in at 805-321-6639. And before I bring up our first public speaker, I do want to kind of encourage a small segment of protocol. So we have been on your video screens for the last 2 years, which means you probably have gotten used to almost having a dialogue with us, even though we have that you've been doing that. So since we are in person, we do ask that if you are going to have conversations in the audience, please take them outside the chambers. And remember, while everyone loves public comment, we don't allow or don't we appreciate the fact that you don't clap, you don't boo or hiss, or otherwise make disruptive comments, as we do want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to make a public comment. And whether you agree with that public comment or not, everyone has the right to say what is on their mind. So with that, we do have a code of civility in the chambers in the back that kind of provides some additional protocols as well. But I know we've always been very, very good at doing this as a city and as a public, and I hope that continues. I really trust that will continue. So with that, I do have one speaker for public comment tonight, and that is Ms. Cassidy.
All right, good evening, Mayor Jeff Lee and council members. My name is Cassie D. I am a business owner and resident here in Grover Beach. I'm here to talk about the businesses, specifically the new businesses that are wanting to, you know, come here to Grover Beach. Back in 2018, Measure M18 was passed, and with that, the municipal code was updated. And with that, the business tax certificate fees were raised, and some language was not included with that. And that is when businesses come to Grover Beach in the month of October, November, December, they have to pay an annual fee of whatever that is, whatever their square footage is. And I'm asking the council to update that code so that it could be prorated. And that way they're more encouraged to come to Grover Beach and have their businesses here. Because it is a really wonderful business community, and I think it would really make a connection and a stronger relationship with the business and the council. And that's it. Thank you, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Misty. Appreciate that comment. So let me see if there's anyone else in the chamber, and we'll capture all the comments, and then we'll see what direction we may provide to staff with respect to that. So let me see if there's anyone else in the chamber that wants to make a public comment this evening. Please come forward.
Good evening, everyone. Mayor and Council, I haven't been in a meeting in a long time. Anyway, my name is Shirley Humarian, and my husband and I own the Burger King that's been at the corner for 39 years this coming May. You probably know about the polls that were put up back in...
And Ms. Humarian?
Yes.
So this is public comment for items that aren't on the agenda tonight. So I know, unless I know you're probably going to speak on the item that is number 10.
Yeah.
So if you want to speak towards that at that point, if there's something that's not on tonight's agenda, that would be the timing for this here. So okay. But we'll have public comment at that time for that item. So okay. It's specific to that item. Great. Thank you for that. So let me check back and see if there's anyone else in the chamber that wants to speak on public comment tonight. Seeing no one else come forward, let me check with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment.
I believe we have Wayne Montgomery.
Very good. So Mr. Montgomery, or your
We're having technical issues. Can you take attendance?
Okay, sounds like we are having a technical issue. Let's go ahead and come back at 6:25, and we will maintain public comments. It will still be open at that time.
Sandwich.
Okay. Never mind.
Good evening again, everyone. So just we are going to reconvene a little bit earlier. Our technical issue has been resolved. So we did leave with public communications still open. So let me turn back to our city clerk and see if anyone is on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. Then I will go ahead and close public comment, bring it back to the council for our consent agenda. Or actually, before we leave that, we did have one speaker that did talk about a language in an existing ordinance. So, Mr. City Manager, I'm not sure if there's an update that you can provide or if that is something that we should provide direction to have staff look into and bring back as appropriate.
We certainly can do that at the council's wish. It is correct that we don't have a prorated amount right now in the BTCs that was taken out as part of Measure 8 M18, in part because there was a substantial amount of kind of workload and tracking what's prorated, what's not prorated, where does the balance fall over the course of the year, October versus July. And so that was done in Measure M18 to simplify the process and make it more consistent across the board. We also have a similar approach for our permit fees for cannabis, for other permit fees that we have as well. We can take a look at that further and bring information back to the council, but just to know that there will be some other factors to consider from a revenue standpoint, staff tracking standpoint, in trying to find a good balance.
Gotcha. Okay. So if we were to provide some consideration this evening for staff to take a look into that, what would your timing be to come back, do you think?
Probably not until closer to the end of the fiscal year.
Very good. So let me check with my colleagues and just see if this is something that we'd like to have staff kind of review and bring back a report for us on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Very good. So, yeah, so it does, we do have kind of a consensus to have staff take a look into that and see if what impacts there might be to staff workload versus business attraction. Okay. Very good. So that does conclude our work on the public comment section. That does take us to our consent agenda, where we have a number of routine items that are listed for consideration as a group. So the recommendation are listed on the agenda, and members of the public are invited to speak on any item listed on the consent agenda. But first, let me see if there's any council member that has any questions on the consent agenda.
No questions.
No questions.
Very good. Then let me open this up to the public. And so let's see if there's any members of the public in the council chambers who wants to speak on an item under the consent agenda. As you're coming forward, I will go ahead and invite the call-in line, members of the public, to call in at 805-321-6639. Seeing no one come forward in the chambers, let me check with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comments on the consent agenda.
There is no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment on the consent agenda. I did have a minor grammatical change on the minutes for Monday, February 28th. I believe it was just a name change and confirmation. But other than that, I believe staff has already made that change, so we can just approve as necessary. Okay. So who's ready to move forward with the motion?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda as posted.
And actually go ahead and bring that microphone just a little bit back and try that one more time.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright is absent. Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we do have a consent agenda that has been approved, so which takes us to our public hearings this evening, where we do have an urgency ordinance adopting a military equipment use policy in accordance with Assembly Bill number 481. And I'll start with Police Chief Peters.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council and community, John Peters, your police chief.
I'd like to introduce Commander Jim Monroe. He's actually going to give the presentation for AB 41 tonight.
Very good. Welcome, Commander.
Thank you, Chief. Good evening, City Council. It's great to see you once again. Tonight we're here talking to you about AB 481, and we'll walk you through it and let you ask any questions you may have here shortly. So AB 481 is a law that was signed to legislation by Governor Gavin Newsom back in September of 2021. Essentially what it does is it requires City of Grover Beach and other cities in California to adopt an urgency ordinance and a military use equipment policy. And so that's why we're here tonight. All police agencies in California are required to have this military equipment use policy, and so we're going to walk you through what that looks like. As you will see, the definition of military equipment is very broad, and military equipment, as far as this legislation is concerned, consists of things such as drones, mobile command vehicles, and everything else you see listed up there. When we say drones, these are drones that could be purchased at your local big box store. So not necessarily military equipment, but it is classified under this new legislation. So obviously the police department does employ the use, and we do have this equipment in-house. And so we have drafted a policy, which is attached to the documents that you have. This is a draft policy and ordinance that was posted to our website over 30 days ago as required by this legislation. And we did hold a public meeting. That public meeting was held at a local Starbucks. It was well publicized on our social media. We did have people to attend, but not one person attended in regards to this topic. And it was advertised as a meeting pertaining to this topic. We did have a representative from Senator Lehr's office stop by. We educated him and had no questions or concerns for us at that time. We are asking to adopt the urgency ordinance tonight because we are taking possession of a brand new command vehicle in the next 2 weeks. That requires this be passed for us to actually obtain it and put it into use. And so tonight, that's our recommendation, is to adopt the urgency ordinance, and that is our recommendation. So if you have any questions, Chief Peters and I are here to answer for you.
Very good. Thank you, Commander, for that presentation. Let me check to my right. Councilmember Robert,
no questions, Mayor.
Any questions to my left?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. So, Commander, for the public's knowledge, once we adopt the urgency ordinance, and it's then established thereafter, annually, the council will still review the ordinance and reapprove it, correct?
That is correct. We will come to you annually with a report, and any new equipment that we acquire will be run through the council, obviously, and it will be listed each and every year from this point forward.
Thank you.
And Commander Monroe, in regards to that report specifically, does that also include the specifics of how the equipment is used throughout the course of the previous year?
Yes, it's a very detailed report, so it'll include how it was used, any costs associated with it, and like I said, if we add or delete any equipment. In our inventory, we really only have two things that are even military surplus. It's a mobile kitchen and a mobile generator. So everything else is bought, obviously, in the open market and typically considered police equipment in addition to military.
Okay. That actually pretty much answers my follow-up question on that as well. When you were discussing that, quote-unquote, military equipment could be, you know, a big-box drone or something along those lines, this equipment does not specifically have to be a surplus Army-Navy kind of purchase. It's just literally a type of object that has been categorized by the state of California. Is that accurate?
100%, yeah. So okay. The legislator has the list that we had up there said that that equipment, based on their findings, is considered military equipment, even though, like I said, it is very broad. And like our mobile command vehicle is not weaponized, does not have any armor in it or on it, but still considered military equipment.
Very good. Thank you.
Very good. So, and actually, my question is not for the commander. It's actually probably for either the city manager or the city attorney. Just to confirm, as an urgency ordinance, we do require 4/5 vote this evening for adoption. Is that correct?
That is correct. Under the state statute, just a reason why your first and second readings all being done at the same time. It will become effective immediately, but it has to be passed by a four-fifths vote.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. I didn't have any other questions. So thank you, gentlemen. So let me turn to this is a public hearing. Let me open the public hearing and invite members of the chamber to come forward and speak on this item. And I will also request that anyone on the line that wants to call in by doing so at 805-321-6639. Anyone in the chamber that want to come forward? Seeing no one come forward, let me check with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and close the public hearing on this item, bring it back to the council for either further questions, comments, or modifications. I do have a couple of grammatical suggestions or modifications when we get there, but let me start with Councilmember Rushing, see if there's any comments that you want to make on this item.
Not particularly, no. Thank you, sir.
Councilmember Miller?
No, thank you.
Councilmember Robert?
No, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you. I did have a couple of changes, and as I look to the it's going to be page – it's the first page of the actual document, which is titled Exhibit A. So of our materials, it's page 68. Under – definitions, the governing body, it says the elected or appointed entity that oversees the Gower Beach Police Department. My thinking was that the city council has taken on that responsibility, and if we were to appoint anyone to oversee the Gower Beach Police Department, that would take an action of the council. So I'd like to consider removing the words or appointed, so that governing body would just would read the elected entity that oversees the Gower Beach Police Department. So, and Chief, if there's any concerns about these, feel free to come forward, or Commander, if there's any concerns with any of the changes that I may be suggesting. So let's see. So my second one was under Section D1. We would change the language to say where it says City Council to just a governing body. And then under Section F2, there was a point of contact as Commander Monroe for the for potential complaints, and I was just requesting perhaps a more general mailbox could be added to that as well, in case Commander Monroe is either out of the area or has become chief, and after the chief retires, and then perhaps it's better to go to a general mailbox. So I wanted to kind of see if there was a consideration by staff, and then I'll see if there's a consensus on the council.
Yeah, so we took care of that already. We've created a police at gbpd.org, and that will be dispersed to the two commanders along with the chief's assistant as well. So that's taken care of.
Great. Very good. I appreciate that. And then my last possible question becomes under Section F3, so which has to again do with the potential complaint, and that complaint being sent up to the Internal Affairs Division. The language says once the complaint is received, it should be routed to the Internal Affairs Division. My thought would be to change that to once the complaint is received and deemed credible, it shall be routed to the Internal Affairs Division. So see if there's any concerns from the commander.
No, we've received all these corrections and changes, and we're okay with them, and we'll make the changes.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. Let's make sure that there's consensus from the council to do that. Any questions to my left?
No, that seems clear.
Okay.
One question. So when you say that once complaints are received and deemed credible before it's routed, does that who's deeming it credible? Is it the police department?
I guess that would be my thought, is that a credible complaint would be pretty much anything that doesn't say, hey, you should paint your cars blue. And I know they're white, but so my thought would be that if as long as it has to do with this this issue, that it would then be deemed credible. But I see the chief coming forward, see if you wanted to add some language to that.
Yeah, just a little highlight is any complaint, whether minimal or not or credible or not, in our police department comes in, it actually is investigated completely. and logging our system, our complaint management system that we have. So every complaint that will come in will be investigated, and the final outcome will be determined.
So I guess from that perspective, we would not need the language once deemed credible. So we would just go, once the complaint is received, it shall be routed to internal affairs.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Any questions to my right?
No, sir.
Very good. So then with that, I think we do have consensus on that. So let's see if there's any other comments, suggestions, or if someone's ready to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the urgency ordinance of military equipment use policy in accordance with Assembly Bill number 481.
And I'll second that with a friendly request to add the changes as suggested from the council, if you're okay with that.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let me turn to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
Yes.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem is absent.
Very good. So that has passed, and it did pass with sufficient votes to be enacted immediately. Very good. So, gentlemen, any other item discussion on that before you proceed?
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. So that does take us to our regular business items. And just as a quick reminder, those that are participating from home and do you want to call in, our public comment line is area code 805-321-6639. And next will be our regular business item number 10, the North Oak Park Boulevard Improvements Review and West Grand Avenue Parkways. And I'll turn it over to our Public Works Director and our City Engineer, Greg Ray.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, and good evening, Mayor and Council. It's good to be with you in person. So tonight we'll be talking about the North Oak Park Boulevard improvements, a review of those improvements, and the West Grand Avenue Parkways just west of North Oak Park Boulevard. I'll put this back. There we go. So next slide, please. Got it. Traffic safety improvements were implemented in July of 2021 based on Council's approval of a design for the North Oak Park area just immediately north of West Grand Avenue. Those improvements that were implemented include no right turn on red signs, signal timing adjustments to provide additional gap time between vehicle and pedestrian crossing movements, restriping of North Oak Park Boulevard from Ramona Avenue to the intersection with West Grand Avenue to reconfigure the turn lanes to basically end the weaving that was happening for people moving up through the through lanes and the dedicated left and right turn lanes. And then flexible pole markers were added to reduce vehicle conflicts and prohibit illegal left turns crossing the double yellow striped center median. Next slide. Since those improvements were implemented in July of 2021, there have been no accidents between Ramona Avenue and West Grand Avenue involving vehicles, bicycles, or pedestrians. In the time prior to that, there were 14 vehicle accidents in this block, primarily related to the illegal turning movements. But there were no pedestrian or bicycle accidents in that five-year period prior to this implementation. Staff would recommend the continued use of the restriping and, in particular, the flexible pole markers to prohibit the illegal left turns. And staff would recommend the council consider making this change more permanent by installing a raised center median in the location where the markers are today. Next slide, please. This graphic shows vehicle traffic collision statistics. If you have questions about that, I have the Chief of Police, John Peters, here with sitting beside me, and he could probably speak more to that. But basically, you're looking at the years 2016 through 2021, and you can see that there were in sequential years 1, 2, 3, and 4 vehicular accidents in the area between Ramona Avenue and West Grand Avenue. And again, no accidents since the implementation of these changes. Next slide, please. Moving on to the West Grand Avenue Parkways, your adopted capital improvement program includes a $2.1 million allocation for a pavement rehabilitation project on West Grand Avenue between 11th Street and Oak Park Boulevard. This project is scheduled to begin in fiscal year 24-25, given the timing of other major street projects that are programmed ahead of that. The current street west of Oak Park Boulevard intersection includes raised parkways with the palm trees, and these create that palm tree landscaped and lit gateway to the city coming from the east to the west. The parkway location on the north side of West Grand Avenue is the primary focus here this evening, and then that driveway limits access to the parking lot of the business at the intersection, that is the Burger King. On October 12th of 21, staff made a presentation for the project design to the City Council, and the Council at that time provided direction to explore options to provide two-way driveway access from West Grand Avenue. Next slide, please. If you can see this behind me, and hopefully you also have an attachment in your staff report, but this is the existing configuration. It shows the parkways just west of North Oak Park Boulevard on either side with the palm trees. And it's difficult to see, but there is a narrow bike lane between those parkways and the sidewalk on either side. Next slide. So, again, these parkways, I put some arrows on this slide to kind of help you see where the bike lanes are. This does provide those bike lanes. And then, again, the north side parkway limits available access to the parking lot of the business here. And if you can see their driveway, you can see that it's an out-only driveway, an exit-only driveway. Next slide, please. There you go. It can only accommodate right turn exits. So that would be a right turn into westbound West Grand Avenue. This, coupled with the recent improvements to North Oak Park Boulevard, basically limit access to Burger King to southbound on North Oak Park Boulevard. It's a mouthful. Next slide, please. So council had asked, again, that the staff bring back a number of options to consider two-way access from West Grand Avenue to the business on the corner here. So staff has presented a number of options for council consideration, the first being to fully remove the parkways. Staff has provided the thought that perhaps the palm trees could be relocated to the two corners. Of course, you know, and that wouldn't allow additional access to Burger King. The access, however, that would be provided would be a westbound right turn in only access to Burger King. We could not provide, unfortunately, a eastbound left turn from West Grand Avenue due to the dedicated left turn lane queuing length. Queuing is the number of vehicles that stack up in that lane waiting to turn left when the signal turns. Now they queue the entire length of that lane and sometimes even into the through lane. So there's no real way to provide a eastbound left turn access into the Burger King parking lot. The ability to relocate the trees is somewhat uncertain. That would require us working with the property owners on the two corners and perhaps could result in blocking their signs. So there would be some consideration as to where they would go. This is the highest cost of the options that staff has provided, with an estimated cost of nearly $800,000. I will point out on the slide, and maybe I can do this. Nope, does not show the mouse, but if you can see in the driveway to Burger King, there's a little sort of a triangle in red there. That is a proposed raised median in the driveway that would basically prohibit access to right turn out, right turn in only, again, because of the excessive vehicle queuing on West Grand Avenue. Next slide, please. So option two would be, again, to remove the parkways completely. In this option, we would consider that, you know, perhaps we couldn't relocate the trees, or it would be cost prohibitive to do so. So we would not relocate the trees. We had an option to perhaps add decorative concrete bulb outs at the intersection. That could provide a little more interest and focus on the corners. I've not shown anything fancy, or just the yellow sort of quarter circles there to indicate that, you know, those would be the approximate location of some decorative bulb outs. And they could be done in, you know, some pavement contrasting colors that would maybe provide a little more focus on that. That also could potentially provide for the beginning of the vehicle slowing and turning movement to make that right turn access into the Burger King driveway. Again, it would be the same kind of access, though, as before. The only difference here is that the trees won't be relocated. Potential for bulb outs, the estimated cost comes down to just around $600,000. Next slide, please. And this is option three. Staff considered partial removal of the parkways. And looking at that, I'm not sure if this is the exact amount that would have to be removed as shown here, but we did, through the beauty of photo doctoring, remove a part of the parkways and some of the trees. This could essentially allow the same access. We'd have to remove enough to allow vehicles to merge through the bike lane into that area and then make the right turn. The turning configuration would be the same. This would have the beauty of maintaining some of the trees, therefore your entry statement. It does, however, create a bicycle and vehicle conflict. If you can see the red arrow that I've placed over the top of the green bike lane, those bicycles traveling westbound would be coming out from behind the trees and behind this median. Cars may not notice them back there, so staff has some concern with that, and you know, there's perhaps ways that that could be addressed, but just to bring that to council's attention. This is almost the lowest cost option with an estimated cost of around $300,000. Next slide, please. And I will mention that the lowest cost option would be simply leave it the way it is today. Looking at the fiscal impact, it would be cost dependent based on the option selected by the council, from do nothing, leave it the same way it is today at virtually zero cost, to up to $800,000 for full removal of the parkways and potential relocation of the palm trees. This work would likely be funded with general funds, especially if it was anticipated to be done sooner than its current schedule. There will be gas tax proceeds, however, available in future years that could offset the general fund allocation toward this work. Next slide. So the considerations before the council this evening are removal or retention of the existing no left turn flexible markers or poles on North Oak Park Boulevard. The potential of adding...
Mr. Ray, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I've just gotten a note that there may be difficulty hearing on TV again. Can we confirm that Channel 20 is broadcasting? Apologize for the interruption.
That's okay. I'd move my mic back.
We're having some low audio issues, but I believe we're recording
now. Okay. Very good. Then, Mr. Ray, I'll ask you to project.
I will do so.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
So the considerations, again, before the council are removal or retention of the existing, to remove or keep the existing no left turn flexible pole markers, or to potentially make it even more permanent by adding a raised median in the same location. A possibility of eliminating the no right turn on red prohibition. We have had some complaints about throughput in the intersection related to the no right turn on red. There is a nearly equal accommodation for pedestrians that could be made by modifying the signal timing and allowing the pedestrians to kind of go out earlier alone and then eventually having the right turns allowed if there were no pedestrians in the intersection. So that was another consideration. And then finally, either retention of the existing West Grand Avenue parkways and palm trees, or implementation of any of the options 1 through 3. And a final wrinkle, whether to conduct that in fiscal year 24-25 as currently programmed, or to consider doing that at an earlier date. So with that, I'll turn it over to the council for questions or comments. I remind you that if you have questions or comments about traffic and safety and things like that, I do have the chief of police here with me.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Appreciate that. Let me check to my right. Councilmember Robert, any questions?
I have no questions at this time, Mayor.
Very good. To my left, Councilmember Miller.
I do have a question, probably for Chief Peters. So we've heard there's been no accidents since the cones or the barriers, I'm sorry, the poles have been installed. But are we have we found that people are running into them at all? Has that been an issue?
We have not seen anybody running into the poles or had any reports of such.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rushing?
Actually, yes. Regarding the potential for raised medians on North Oak Park, was there a mention of potential cost for that project?
No. I apologize for that. We did not estimate a cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. So maybe a quick question there is, what would that raised median look like? Would it be just very similar to the raised medians on West Grand Avenue?
It would be very, very narrow. Okay. There's not a lot of lane space there, but it would probably have decorative concrete pavers in it, as you see in the noses of the medians on West Grand Avenue, but not much more than that, probably 2 to 3 feet wide.
In a traffic thought process, would that be more likely to be mounted and driven over by vehicles versus the current situation?
I think the poles would remain as a visual indicator, especially at night, of the existence. But I think it would be much more prohibitive, I should say, if a vehicle did try, in fact, to make the turn.
From the right turn, no right turn on red. So the thought process there would be to take down that signage, allow the right turns on red, and then have pedestrians cross 1 to 2 seconds before the light turned green for that. So people would be seen in the pedestrian crosswalk. Is that correct?
Correct. The terminology is a leading pedestrian phase, a few minutes early, seconds really early, so that the vehicles have a chance to see them. They're out in front of them, then the vehicle can go ahead and go. And so they get a right turn arrow at that point.
Okay. Very good. That's all the questions that I had, except for one, and I'm not sure if this is for the chief or for Mr. Ray, and I apologize for not giving you a heads up beforehand. You had kind of one of the tables showed the number of accidents from 16 to 20. It was, do we know a corresponding potential increase in traffic volume during those years as well, or were we approximately the same traffic volume in that area?
Well, from my perspective, we haven't done additional traffic studies during that time, but you guys may have counts.
We had a speed survey that was recently completed, and it did show very similar traffic to the last speed survey that we had, which was a few years prior, about 7 years prior.
Okay, so the likelihood is that the volume of traffic is consistent over the course of those years?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. So I will open this up to public comments. I will invite folks in the chamber. I do have one speaker slip. Ms. Sumerian. So as she's coming forward for public comments, I will invite others to present public comments, or if anyone is on the line, please call in at 805-321-6639. So, Ms. Sumerian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This is the right time, right?
This is the right
time.
Okay,
good. Okay. All righty. Good evening, everybody. And again, you probably know that the polls are to block the dangerous left turns. Were put up unbeknownst to us. We came in one morning and the poles were there. We saw all the construction, which was handled very nicely, by the way, at night, and we were appreciative of that. But we did not know those poles were coming. We would like to respectfully ask the council to consider these recommendations, and some of them, I guess, have already been up on the screen. We don't really feel that the left turn is the problem. It's the speed of the cars coming down the hill that's the problem. And then if you are turning left and you've got a car flying down, that's when the accident happened. So we would like to suggest a few things anyway, and consider them. On Oak Park, add a sign that says watch your speed or slow down with a flashing light like the one on 4th Street. To me, when you go down 4th Street, you have a lot more of a slow down presence than you do on Oak Park, and it's not as, you know, fast of a hill or as steep of a hill. And if that isn't enough, add those little round speed bump reminders like you have on 4th Street as well. We would ask that you get rid of the poles because they're not needed, and they don't do anything for aesthetics to our, you know, our major entrance to the city. The only place I've ever seen those nice big poles are on, like at the intersection of the 405 and the 101. When you come on, they want you to keep in your lane so you don't go into oncoming traffic, and that's big city type, you know, environment, and that's not us. And I know we had our little meeting by Zoom call the other day with some of the hospitality people in the area, and they all said they would like to see Grover Beach become more of a beach town. And I just don't think poles at our entrance do anything to enhance that quality. Restripe the street at the corner of Oak Park and Grand with a left turn lane, allowing cars to turn into our restaurant, into Michael's Nail Spa. Remove the no turn on red sign, which again has been mentioned as a probably will happen, so that's a good thing. But keep the signals timed well at the corner so that the cars don't back up and block the entrances as well. Just as a little recap, when we opened in 1983, we had an agreement with the city of Grover Beach. At that time, Oak Park was a lot narrower, and they expanded to the multiple lanes that it is now, which took part of our property. But when we started, that was in an agreement, and it was a good thing. Then some years later, the council decided to put up the palm trees to enhance the entrance of Grover Beach with the sign in front of Vaughn's. And now we're considering taking the palm trees down, you know. Again, just in our humble opinion, I think the money would be better spent on slow down signage, attention getting additions on Oak Park Hill, or maybe on some of our local streets in Grover Beach that still need some help. And we ask again that the poles would, you know, be removed. It has hurt our sales. It has hurt our access. And, well, that's enough, I guess. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Marion. Let me see if there's anyone else in the chamber that wants to speak on this item. Seeing no one else come forward, I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment on this item.
Yes, we have Krista Jeffries.
Good evening, Ms. Jeffries. The beauty of hybrid technology. And as we're waiting for Ms. Jeffries to come forward, Ms. Marion, can I ask you to come back up to the lectern for just a moment? I did have a quick question that I did want to ask. And that would be, staff presented a number of options on West Grand Avenue for an entrance. Do you have a position or a thought on those as the business owner there?
We both, Mike and I both, would just like the poles removed and let us have our entrance back.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let me check back in with our city clerk, see if we have Ms. Jeffries on the line. Do you want to, perhaps, Mr. City Manager?
Can we do a low-tech technology and have a hold a cell phone up to a microphone?
If that is an acceptable option, then...
Call it. Call my phone.
Hello?
Ah, there we go.
Can you hear me?
Good evening, Ms. Jeffries. Yes, we can hear you. We can. Can you hear us?
I was like a minute and a half through my previous comment, and then I just heard the mayor speaking, and I was like, wait a minute. I guess you hadn't been hearing me the whole time, so apologies.
No worries.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to try and get through this quickly. When I reviewed some of the changes to this intersection that are being proposed, I'm reminded of the city's goals of safer streets, better pedestrian infrastructure, and better support for local businesses and economic growth. And really none of the changes that are being proposed here are consistent with those goals. We know from decades of study that making it easier for cars to get in and out of places and facilitating the higher speed of cars does not make a place safer or more economically prosperous. And just from a personal standpoint, I bike through that intersection at least two or three times a week. And if the changes that are being proposed are enacted, it's going to be even more dangerous for people on bike or on foot or if somebody who's in a wheelchair. I know that change is hard and nobody likes it when it's affecting them, but really we're talking about like a 90-second change in time and three right turns in order to get into the Burger King. I timed it myself in my big like land yacht of a vehicle. It takes 90 seconds and three right turns to pull into the Burger King on the off chance that you miss the turn from North Oak Park Boulevard. Just from a financial standpoint, I know that this information is proprietary and it was not publicly available. I asked for the sales tax revenue and how much money is going to the city from this business, and that's fine. They don't want to share it with me or they don't want to share it with the public, but I think they should share it with city officials and with elected officials as well and, like, make the case financially for what is amounting to, like, an interest-free loan for this single business on the corner. It just doesn't really seem fair to be spending so much tax money to prop up one single business that, I mean... That just doesn't really seem right. Like, is this going to be available to everybody else who says that a bike lane or a change in the road is going to impede their business? I think what's going on right now is fine, and people have gotten used to it, and they will get used to it, and moving in the direction that we want, which is more safety, is the right way and not going backwards. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. So let me check back in with our city clerk, see if there's anyone else on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and bring it back to the council. And let's see. I don't think there were any specific questions that I heard from either commenter, but was there anything that either of you gentlemen wanted to share?
Yes, I just wanted to add, in reference to what was brought up about the speeds on North Oak Park, in reference to the 14 collisions that we had, only two were related to speed. The rest were related to illegal turning movements into the driveways there. So of that, 12 of the 14 collisions were caused by illegal turning movements across that double yellow. Additionally, the speed signs, North Oak Park, as our last speed surveys indicated, does not have a speed issue. There are some speeding that is going on, and citations have been issued for those violations, but we are also ordering larger and more visible speed signs for North Oak Park, digital signs that will be putting those messages out as they do on 4th Street to slow down. So that's already in the works.
Very good. Appreciate that, Chief. So, Mr. Ray, anything that you wanted to add in response?
No, thank you. That was sufficient.
Very good. Let me bring it back to the council, see if there's any questions that got generated by either the commenters or by staff's clarifications. Councilmember Rushing?
There is a great deal to unpack here.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'd like to continue this conversation amongst the council right now, certainly. But, Chief, thank you very much for bringing back the the commenter's question about the speeds, specifically on North Oak Park. Those were going to be my initial questions along those lines. I'm certainly going to have some comments to share with the council, but I'd like to see where this one goes for a little bit.
Okay. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. And maybe this question should have come up earlier, but I'm going to ask it now. So the option for partial removal of the parkways to allow space for eastbound ingress to the driveway, I think you mentioned there's visibility issues with eastbound bike lane with that option. Are there ways to mitigate the visibility issue?
I mean, yes, most likely. You know, we haven't done a detailed design study of this. These are options sort of being presented for further study, depending on the council's consideration of one in particular. But, you know, the one or more of the palm trees, even with the existing median arrangement or with a reduced median arrangement, could still be removed to provide less visual conflict with the bike riders. We did already propose the green bike lane so that vehicles will see that there's a, you know, that the boxed green bike lane indicates that a vehicle is crossing and that they have to look for bicycles. Perhaps additional signage could be added also to further alert, and even maybe even a, you know, flashing sign. There's a lot of things that could be considered. I'm not going to recommend one in particular tonight because, again, this is, we haven't done a detailed design study of this, but I think there would be things that we could do to try to mitigate that.
Thank you.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. It's my understanding that if we were to remove or modify the palm tree areas, that the owner would also incur some significant cost to their property in adding a driveway, because we wouldn't be adding the driveway to their property, correct?
I guess that's something that council could think about and deliberate on this evening. I mean, it was really anticipated that perhaps the owner would do those improvements, but I guess equally, you know, the city could consider taking those on.
I know the owners don't want to incur that cost. I'd like to see some way that we could get a left turn lane in there when we stripe South Oak, but to remove the cones and allow cars to make illegal turns, I think might put the city at liability. But if there's any traffic study that we could do, not traffic study, but study that we could do, design study, thank you, they could get a legal left turn into there without incurring large amounts of cost. $800,000 is a lot of money to remove those two features that we put in years ago. So I don't know that I'd be in favor of that. But I certainly understand the situation with the business. So that would be what I'm thinking at this point. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Let me turn to Mr. Ray for a second. Councilmember Robert mentioned a left turn lane into that shopping center. From a traffic standpoint, based, that has been reviewed previously, right? Correct, and that there's not a adequate stacking, or maybe you can kind of unpack that for us for just a second to see how not that could happen.
That's possible.
So that issue was studied when the reconfiguration was being considered. We hired a firm, GHD, their traffic engineering consulting firm, to look at various options there. There were a number of conflicts. In particular, you need four lanes, essentially southbound, to be able to accommodate the volume of traffic, with the dedicated turn lanes hopefully providing some relief, but you already have queuing that's going on from West Grand Avenue all the way up to Ramona. So there were just too many conflicts to make that recommendation of a dedicated left turn lane, especially into the Burger King parking lot. It's too close to the intersection. Mm-hmm. There is dedicated turn into Ramona beyond, but that is it.
Okay, so the left turn movement is actually up at Ramona, which is a couple hundred feet further north. And notwithstanding, there's only two lanes that are coming down towards the intersection at that point, rather than having to cross as many as three, potentially even four lanes from a dedicated left turn lane. Is that correct? A fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
Okay. Very good. So one question before I maybe turn over to the city manager to see if he has anything to share regarding the conversation is the bike lanes behind the palm trees. Is that wide enough for either a class one, class two, class three, or is that generally considered a legal bike lane?
I would consider those to be
custom bikes
that do not fit into the categories of class one, two, or three, as I identified.
Very good. So from and this is more of a curiosity question than part of our conversation this evening. If those were to be filled in, could a shared bike lane be configured for the sidewalk from that intersection further to the further to the west, or should the correct location for the bike lanes be a Sharro going to the west in one of the West Grand Avenue lanes? What would be the most traffic friendly configuration for a bike lane from that intersection?
Well, for vehicles, certainly, I think the idea of a multi-use path, which the sidewalk would be converted to, would probably be ideal. But I did spend quite a bit of time in a consideration for a different project that the city was considering years ago, studying design of multi-use bike ways. And one of the things that they early on do recommend that you take a hard look at is the number of vehicle and bicycle conflicting movements and the complexity. I think there's so much complexity there that perhaps moving the bicycles onto the sidewalk and then expecting the vehicles to acknowledge that they're there, having only been there for such a short distance, would probably conflict with the recommendations from the various agencies that are promoting those bike lane standards. I think Sharro's would be more appropriate. And in fact, if you look eastbound, we have already, to some extent, accommodated that kind of a configuration. We created what's called a bike box, which allows the bicycles to get out in a visible location traveling eastbound prior to crossing the intersection. It's a green painted area for bicycles to occupy while the signal is red. So.
Very good. Thank you for that. So let me turn to our city manager for just a moment and see if there's anything he wants to add to our comments or deliberation. Mm.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I appreciate the conversation. Maybe just offer a couple of broader points just for the Council to consider. First is that this is an example of balancing different interests, balancing traffic safety and balancing accessibility, meaning property accessibility. And we're trying to thread the needle carefully on how we balance these different interests. As Mr. Ray mentioned, we do believe as staff that the current configuration on North Oak Park is the right configuration from a traffic safety standpoint, given the work that was done over the last 9 months, with some fine-tuning that the council could consider, like the no right turn on red signage that Mr. Ray mentioned earlier. Secondly, just to address a point that was made, we're not focus on this for one particular business, either with whatever action we end up recommending and doing. We're really trying to look at this from a broader standpoint. Yes, this is a notable business. It's a long-standing business, and it's a significant tax generator, no doubt. We don't release individual information, but they are among our more significant tax generators. We're trying to look at this from a property accessibility standpoint, and that gets into the public interest. Why are we considering these different options? This is the busiest intersection in the city. This is the most notable intersection in our area, and this is the only property that does not have two-way access to the property. Every other property on the intersection has access from Grand Avenue and Oak Park Boulevard. This property does not. So looking at the broader standpoint around the property, there is a public interest, I believe, in considering accessibility to the property, both for who's there now and who may be there in the future, just from a broader community standpoint. So that's why staff, I think, is investing time in this and following your direction back in October. And the third point is that I don't feel the council really needs to maybe hash out every design aspect tonight, because this is a project that would be scheduled in fiscal year 24-25 in our current CIP, if the council wished to consider this further. What we're looking for tonight is really a nod towards considering this in the broader West Grand Avenue project, which will be a very significant project, a very in-depth project, and one in which we'll come back to you probably several times on design options as we make sure we get this project right. And that will be done at some point in the future, not probably until next year or so. So for tonight, we just want to know, is this something that you would like us to include within this design scheme and factor it into our costs and programming for the CIP, knowing that we can come back to you and work out additional design aspects at a later date?
Very good. Thank you for that context. And with that, Councilmember Rushing, so we have kind of danced around our comments and our direction for as long as I think we can.
Fair enough.
So with that, let me ask one last question of Mr. Ray, and it is not germane to what the city manager just mentioned, but Ms. Marion did mention the number of poles. So is the spacing of the poles per the Manual of Uniform Traffic standards, or is there a greater separation that if we were to take down every other one, realizing it still wouldn't allow left turns, but it might be more visually appealing? So is that the design standards for the distance on those?
I have to admit, I'd have to guess. I you know, because the design was prepared by a licensed traffic engineer, I'm going to presume that it's per the California MUTCD standard. The spacing looks about right to me based on that, but I couldn't say for
sure. Okay. It was just a question, and my anticipation is that it is probably designed and installed in accordance with that manual. So, okay, very good. Thank you. So let's start with the kind of unpacking the questions of no right turn on red. Let's start there. So I think that's a little bit more of a opportunistic area to have the first conversation. So let me see, Councilmember Rushing, see if there's thoughts that you have on that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So I had the opportunity to have a right turn on red moment. Hello? There I am. Beautiful. Excuse me. Still working this part out. So I had the opportunity. I was on Oak Park yesterday, and that right turn, you want to make that right turn. I mean, you do. When you're sitting at that intersection, it just feels like it's supposed to happen. And then you actually start the process, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have made that right turn, because there's a lot going on at this intersection. The concept was brought forward that it is one of the largest intersections within our region. But the last thing I would like to see on that intersection is more busyness with it. So I don't think we need more signs in that space. Nine times out of ten, there's all of the lights, there's the no turn on red, there's the crosswalks, there's everything else all moving along. And I personally get a little bit lost in that. If I was ruling the world, which I'm not, but if I was, I would probably remove the no turn on red. But I'm a very big fan of that staggered concept for the crossings, specifically as was talked about, which is allowing pedestrians to get out ahead of the green lights for cars. But conversely, too, on the other end of it, making sure that that the crosswalk actually goes red in advance of in advance of vehicles getting their red light, similar to the way that San Luis Obispo does, so that there's a structured stagger kind of a thing. So everybody gets their time in the sun, and we can move on from there. But so that's the first can to unpack. Okay.
Very good. So, and while you may not rule the world, you are one of five votes that do have input on this subject and many others that impact the city of Grover Beach. So very good. So Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. So I, too, have had my experiences there at that light, and people will honk at you if you stop there to wait to turn, and it is a cause for traffic to back up. And so, you know, I too, am a fan of the option to modify signal timing for pedestrians, and I'd like to eliminate the no right on red.
Councilmember Rubber?
I agree. I don't think it's necessary, but for safety, they should modify the timing.
I am in agreement with that that change as well, to go to a staggered or a modified pedestrian, as I have been second or third in line and have gotten mad or angry at the people in front of me for not making the right turn on red, then seeing the sign going, that's why I should not be angry at the moment. So I think we've got consensus on that to make sure that we have safe pedestrian crossings by staggering the light timing, but then removing the no right turn on red signs and saving them possibly for another location somewhere in the city. So before we proceed to our next item of discussion, let me see, Mr. Ray, Chief, anything else on the no right turn on red? Okay. Very good. So that takes us to the let's go just to provide a clear direction to staff. We'll start with polls, any changes, modifications, no changes, modifications, and then we'll end with potential changes to West Grand Avenue traffic circulation. So let me start to my right this time, Councilmember Robert. Any thoughts, comments on the traffic polls?
I don't like the way they look either. They look awful, really, for the city. But the fact of the matter is they've stopped a lot of accidents. So I'm really torn between the two. Safety is a priority. But if there was any way we could make them look not so big city, that would be my vote. But to remove them completely, I'm not so sure I'd be in favor of that. I'd really like to see that road wider so we can get one lane in there. And I don't know if that's even possible. So that's my feelings.
Okay. Very good. Councilmember Miller?
Thank you. I think the data supports keeping the barriers in place, whether it be the poles that are there now or I think the concrete barriers that were discussed earlier. But I don't think we should start allowing left turns there.
Councilmember Rushing?
I'd agree with, excuse me, I would agree with Councilmember Miller on this one as well. They are not my favorite aesthetically, but the fact that if we did a raised medium on there, we would still need to have poles just sitting on top of them for visibility's sake, it seems like an excess expense. And preventing those illegal left-hand turns, as the data shows, has definitely been important to us.
Very good, and I am in agreement with that as well as Ms. Marion and the city manager and I have had conversations, and I do sympathize with the business potential loss and impacts from the result of those polls. But it is our responsibility as a council and as a city to make sure that we do have safe roadways. And so I think we have a consensus that the polls should remain. We'll ask staff to see if there's any modifications from an aesthetic standpoint that could be undertaken to make those still effective, but still perhaps a little bit more aesthetic. I have no idea what that would be. I don't think there's a need to spend a lot of time on that. anticipating that we're not going to paint these so it says Grover Beach on one side, so which would then be a visual hazard. But if you could take one last look and make sure that the design is correct, the height is correct, if the color can be aesthetically moderate to make it less, still safe, but less visually unattractive. So again, we'll look to staff to see if there's anything as with respect to that. So any concerns about asking staff to take one last look at that?
No.
No concerns. No.
Okay. No. I'll turn to Mr. Ray to see if there's anything we've asked in that conversation that is untenable.
No, and I'm intrigued by the idea of perhaps trying to make this look somehow better or changing the appearance of them, but achieving the same result. So we'll definitely take a look.
Okay, very good. I definitely appreciate that. So that does take us to our conversation of driveway and palm trees on West Grand Avenue. So I'll start this time with Councilmember Miller, see if there's a place that she wants to start this conversation.
Yes, thank you. I would like to consider option of partial removal of the parkway to allow for additional space in the eastbound ingress driveway, but would like more information on how we can mitigate the visibility issues. Sorry, for bikes.
Okay, so that would be attachment 2, is that?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm seeing a 3 from our city manager.
And council member, is that option 3, the partial removal?
It's on the staff report, it's listed as option 3, but on the maps, it's attachment 2.
Attachment 2, yeah.
So, oops, if you go back one there, Mr. Ray, so it basically would be that configuration, correct, which removes a portion of the palm tree island and allows for right-in, right-out movements. Is that
correct?
That's the one. Okay. Any other comments on that? So maybe a question to ask is, do we direct staff to do this in advance of the Grand Avenue project or with the Grand Avenue project?
With the Grand Avenue project makes the most sense to me.
Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll start off with the last little bit there that, yes, I agree that whatever it is we do in this space should be with the rest of the Grand Avenue project. But in specific to what options we should be considering, I'll pull that back up for us. I keep coming back to our major city goals and council goals about safety and having a walkable and bikeable community. I really, really want to like the third option. I think that it provides that little extra space for that egress and ingress from the Burger King parking lot. But at the same point, when every time I look at that picture right there, I see a huge blind spot that I don't see how we can mitigate. I'm sure there's a lot of smarter people in this room than I, but I know for a fact you can't see very much when you're making that turn. And the other options are just, honestly, they're ridiculously expensive, and I don't think they're going to do anything good for our city. We've got some beautiful palm trees. We've got some great parkways. If we can find a way to keep safety at the topmost level, I could support option 3. Otherwise, I would support maintaining the status quo.
Councilmember Robert.
I agree with Councilmember Rushing. It's ridiculously expensive. I mean, the construction work now is astronomical, and to remove all those would just be, I don't think it's an option. I don't think any of us would be sitting here next term if we did that, honestly. But I would agree with Council Member Miller that the attachment 2, I don't know what option that is. 1? 3, thank you. 3 would be my my choice, attachment two, option three, to get a driveway into the Burger King with minimal expense and just removing some of the palm tree area there.
Very good. So I am also in favor of option three, attachment two, which would be to get a right-in, right-out from the Burger King property and to potentially pull back the palm tree islands from there. And I would be in agreement of also proceeding with this as part of the design concept for the West Grand Avenue project.
Yes.
Let me throw out an option and see how twitchy I can make our city engineer with my next comment. So is there a viability of relocating bike lane traffic from North Oak Park traveling down the hill, rerouting it to Ramona to 16th back onto Grand Avenue to avoid this intersection for those movements, and then having a Sharro for westbound bike traffic going from the east to the west? Is that a significant expense from either a signage standpoint or so forth, basically to remove some of those conflicts?
I think those are not terribly expensive. I mean, not even to the point that I would really allow expense to be a concern. What you're basically proposing is a bike route that would avoid that intersection, but then for bicycles already on Grand Avenue traveling west, that they would have Sharros through the intersection so that they would be, in fact, then very visible to the cars. I think my recommendation would be to provide direction that we study that and look at that and other options to dramatically improve that bicycle-vehicle potential conflict.
Okay. Any concerns with having staff take a look at that bike lane option?
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Councilmember?
Are you proposing that we not have a bike lane there and they go around Ramona Avenue?
So effectively a bike lane going west on West Grand Avenue would be a Sharro for anybody coming from Arroyo Grande down West Grand Avenue, but bicyclists coming down North Oak Park would maneuver
Ramona to
16th back to that intersection, which is a much cleaner intersection.
Right, but have no allowable bikes at that second. My only concern is people don't do what they're told to do. They do what they want to do.
We'd still have a kind of a Sharro, so people the bicyclists would be able to use the bike lanes. So, but from a maneuverability standpoint, anybody coming down the hill would go a different route. Someone already on Grand Avenue could continue.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I agree.
Okay.
And then the goal being especially to fix our visibility issue.
To fix our visibility issue and remove as much of that red arrow conflict as we could while still providing an opportunity for right in, right out from that business.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so I guess I'm hearing consensus to move forward with a review of option three as part of the West Grand Avenue project, with a couple of for bike lanes, for access entrance, ingress, egress into the into the Burger King parking lot. Any other thoughts on this particular item?
Maybe just one last thought. I just want to mention that I can sympathize as a former business owner. I can sympathize with Ms. Marion.
Marion.
Thank you. And certainly have taken your comments into account when making the decision. Hopefully these changes will provide better access to the property and meaning better access to your business. Thank you.
Very good. So let me turn to staff to make sure there's clear direction on this item.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. In fact, we will incorporate this direction on option three into our draft CIP that you'll see in 2 weeks. We'll add this to the overall cost of the West Grand Avenue project. We won't have the design ready, of course, at that point, but just to make sure we are tracking that effective immediately.
Okay, very good. So, and realizing the cost options are a future discussion, whether there's a shared cost, whether it's a city-only cost, or how that proceeds. So, okay. So we'll take that conversation at a later date as well. Notwithstanding the opportunity for having a banner with two poles in either of those median,
I would maybe
not on the discussion tonight.
A gateway sign would be a great extension across the street that would be even more durable than a banner.
You and I are thinking in the same vein, so of being able to have a welcome to Grover Beach entrance sign. Very good. Great. So that does conclude our work on that item. So let's make sure to my right and to my left, anybody need a break? Okay, staff, anybody need a break? Very good. Let's go ahead and proceed with item number 11, which is property acquisition of 955 South 4th Street for homeless housing facility use and approval of an assignment of purchase agreement, escrow documents, purchase contract, agency use plan, resolution adopting the plan, and a categorical exemption under CEQA, section 15303. Let me turn to our city manager, Mr. Bronson, first to see who's going to kick off the conversation.
That would be me and what the mayor said. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I am going to share a brief presentation just to highlight this item. I want to also mention that we have some guests in the audience tonight from the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We have their board chair, Ken Dalebout, and their executive director, Janet Nichols. And then from the county, we have the new homeless manager, Joe Devonick, and then the new homeless program manager, Jeff Amashat, who also happens to be our Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission chair as well. So what's before the council is a property acquisition recommendation from staff. But just to walk through briefly some high-level information, as the council is aware, housing homelessness was one of your major city goals with a particular focus on sheltering issues and partnering with organizations in our area. The community survey highlighted homelessness as the most cited issue in the eyes of respondents to our community survey, which was a representative cross-section of the community that was surveyed back in the fall of 2021. Roughly 35% of respondents indicated homelessness as the most important issue facing Grover Beach today. And when we drill down, providing temporary or permanent shelter space for homeless individuals was the most identified, cited activity that they wish the city would do more of, really focusing in on providing shelter and housing spaces. The city has done quite a bit over the last year in helping to work with our partner agencies in securing over $1 million in CDBG funding, $450,000 in CARES Act funding for homeless services, child care, winter warming center. We have the highest rate of unsheltered individuals here within our county, this county across the country, and that's a challenge that we all face within this area, and we have no shelter space in South County itself. So the challenges we face are in part because we have no shelter space. We're the only part of the county, aside from the North Coast, that does not have a dedicated shelter space within our region. Our overarching goals, as the council is aware, we talk about this quite regularly, compassion with order, compassion in enabling our homeless individuals, our unhoused population, to access services and housing for those that can, for those that are open to that, while we provide and maintain order in our public spaces so that our parks, our open spaces, our streets, our sidewalks are accessible for all in the community. Compassion and order is what we try to balance. It's a tough balance. And we try to thread the needle, to use that phrase again, in striking that balance. Access to housing is particularly critical given the housing challenges we face. Our city has been very proactive with affordable housing over many years, and that is a key linchpin to providing sheltering opportunities. And the council is aware of that. Our Martin B. Boise enforcement severely limits what we can do in regulating camping ordinances in public spaces. Private property has a different enforcement opportunity, but public spaces, if there's nowhere for people to go to, we cannot enforce our camping ordinances as we otherwise would. Just to reference the council that we are working with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition on a temporary emergency shelter. It's a Five Cities Homeless Coalition and county-led effort on county property at 16th Long Branch. What's on screen just shows the number of cabin units that would be created in this particular complex, about 20 different 100-square-foot cabin units, each of them providing single or double occupancy, providing a roof over people's heads to enable them to get to a transitional housing place, to get services and help to be able to get off of homelessness and work towards self-sufficiency. We are working with the Homeless Coalition on the process. Our role is pretty limited, quite frankly. We're not the permitting agency. We are providing security by virtue of the responding law enforcement agency, but we're certainly a strong supporter and champion of this project. And this goes to show the type of pallet cabins that are being created with security cameras and fencing, and we expect this to be operational this spring and running at least until December of 2022. So beyond that one complex, we are working with the Homeless Coalition on a variety of different opportunities across the South County area. The council has directed up to $800,000 of our ARPA allocation towards homeless facilities and services. So we do have federal funding, one-time federal funding, to be able to apply towards these purposes. Not general fund dollars, not our operating budget, but one-time federal funding to help address these critical needs. So what is being proposed before you tonight is a property acquisition at 955 South 4th Street. The Homeless Coalition has identified just under a half acre of vacant property. It's shown on screen here. It is just a little bit north of Highland Way. It abuts Barca Street in the rear on the right-hand side and then faces South 4th Street on the left-hand side. While it's showing some trailers and vehicles in this picture, it is a vacant site. It's never been used for any kind of structure or housing that we're aware of. The Homeless Coalition is looking at this as a potential site for non-congregate temporary housing, not intended to be a large multi-use, multi-story building like at 40 Prado in San Luis Obispo, but really more of this non-congregate housing that can be installed relatively quickly at a lower cost than building a 10,000 to 15,000 square foot building. It is zoned coastal industrial, so it is in the coastal zone. We have to issue a coastal development permit for the property, but that can be done within the staff level. And one uniqueness is that it's located adjacent to our future Central Coast Blue treatment facility, which is on Barca Street, right across the street from this property. That facility does need utility lines to run from CCB's facility through this property to the sewer lines connecting on South 4th Street, sewer and water lines. So part of the opportunity is that by purchasing the property, the city is in a key position in helping to make sure that these utility lines are placed in a location where they can be accessed and do not disrupt the flow of this temporary emergency shelter operation on 4th Street. So I think there's a uniqueness in locating these facilities adjacent to one another. And the idea is that this would have a similar security plan, similar management as the cabin project that will be operational later this spring. So what is specifically before the council is to acquire the property for $425,000. In the one-time ARPA funding. We are requesting that the council authorize the city to step in and become the assignment. Currently, the Five Cities Homeless Coalition is an escrow for the property. We've been coordinating with the coalition, and with this action, the city would step in and actually become the buyer of the property. The escrow runs until March 22nd, and so there is a timing issue in taking this action this evening. We would then enter into a long-term ground lease, a 55-year ground lease, with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition to actually develop and operate the facility. The city would not be doing this ourselves. We're not equipped to run a temporary homeless housing facility. We would be enabling the Homeless Coalition to be able to do that and seeking grant funding, seeking funding from other agencies, not just to develop it, but to operate it on an ongoing basis going forward. the time frame is dependent upon funding and the permitting process, but ultimately 2023 is a realistic time frame for when this facility could be up and running. And certainly we'll be working closely with our partner agencies on these different facilities. I would add, this is one example of the mix of facilities that we will need in South County in order to address homelessness. This is one solution, but we're talking about probably 20 to 30 beds of this one solution. That's an important step forward, but just one step in the many more beds that we need across our South County area. We need group homes, we need safe parking areas, we need temporary shelters, we need transitional housing in all of our communities across the South County to really make a demonstrable improvement in this most vexing issue that we are facing across our communities. And then I'll defer to our esteemed city attorney on the last bullet point, but we've just received clearance today from the State Housing and Community Development Department that this project would not be subject to the Surplus Land Act because it is not considered surplus property owned by the city of Grover Beach. It's vacant land that we'd be buying and turning over to the Homeless Coalition to operate the facility through a ground lease. And the city attorney can speak more to that if there are any questions from the council. So the recommendation from staff is to approve the acquisition of the property at 955 South 4th Street. As part of that, we're asking you to adopt a resolution approving the agency use plan, which is a document that goes to HCD as part of that clearance under the Surplus Land Act. We're also asking the council to assign the purchase agreement, escrow documents, and grant the categorical exemption under CEQA under the property. And lastly, we'll return to the council in April with the final ground lease with the Homeless Coalition and related grant applications that are necessary to make this project a reality. And with that, be glad to take your questions and comments. And again, we have our invited guests who may offer some comments as well.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson, for that presentation. Let me check with council members, see if there is any questions of staff. Let me start with Council Member Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one question, and for public's knowledge, the 55-year ground lease would require the site to be operated as a homeless housing facility for the full 55 years, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rushing.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Robert.
After the 55 years, would that just renew under the same circumstances?
No, it would not. Technically, we are restricted under government code to that particular time frame. Mm-hmm. There is the ability to extend that, but there are certain criteria and conditions we'd have to meet to do so. As of right now, the 55 years would be the maximum. We can entertain the suggestion of council to look at purchase options, things of that nature, where we would relinquish ownership. But that hasn't been the intent at this point in time, unless council directs otherwise.
Okay, well, most of us won't be here after 55 years, but I think there should still be a plan. Most of us, I said. A plan to know what to do after the 55 years for our children and grandchildren, I feel. Anyway.
Very good. Thanks. Certainly. Great. And I just had two quick questions. One is probably for Mr. Buckingham in the back. But I just wanted to confirm through Mr. Hale and Mr. Bronson that a revised resolution was uploaded and is on the public website, which is the resolution that staff is asking us to proceed with this evening because it does provide the HUD approval or the HCD approval of the no surplus plan requirement. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, HCD did give us clearance to go forward with this project. It does not, in fact, we do not have to comply with the Surplus Land Act.
Okay, very good. And that resolution is in the public document. Okay, very good. So, Mr. Buckingham or Mr. Bronson, my last question is, realizing that we're going to approve a categorical exemption as part of this action this evening, realizing there's federal funds associated with that, is there not a NEPA that will need to be done at some point, or is this being considered an unnecessary action under federal funding guidelines?
Good evening. I think the simple answer is it depends on the funding source, which will be identified by Five Cities Homeless Coalition. So if it was, in fact, and Jana can address that, if it is federal funding, yes, then there would be a NEPA process.
So, however, we're purchasing this as a city with federal funding because it's the ARPA designated funding.
I don't know if there's an exemption under ARPA for NEPA review.
Okay. So perhaps...
got any thoughts on that?
I apologize. I should have brought this up beforehand, but I just realized as I read it beforehand, it's like CEQA. Oh, wait a second. How about NEPA? So, Mr. Hale.
We had not thought through that in terms of the federal implications of NEPA.
Let me ask a potentially different question then. So is there any reason that we would need to actually approve a NEPA document this evening as part of this action? Could we do that at a later date?
We did that in the context of the Cleaver Park property, where we did not approve the NEPA document at that point in time. let me look into that at this point. I think we can go forward with the action today with terms of the CEQA document, and then we'll follow up with council on the context of the NEPA. We did do it at a subsequent time under Cleaver, and I think we can probably work something out here.
Okay, so the kind of the approach this evening is to proceed as presented. If we need to do a NEPA document, it'll be based upon the project that advances forward.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. So I appreciate that. With that, let me open up this up to the public and allow folks in the chamber to come forward and speak on this item, and then I'll also invite members of the public to call in at 805-321-6639 to see if there's any members that want to speak on this item. So I only have one speaker slip, but I am going to ultimately invite Ms. Nichols up first, and then we'll go to Mr. Dzwonek, and then third with Mr. Almashot. So Ms. Nichols, if you would come forward, please, and provide public comment. Realizing this is not Ms. Nichols, this is...
So Ken Dale about chair of Five Cities Homeless Coalition Board. And just first, homelessness is multi-pronged. It's cause and the solution also. Your city manager has a very good grasp on the issue and the solution. So it's going to take multiple solutions to get through this. So just make my comment is I applaud the city council for taking this on. It is not going to resolve itself. And so we as citizens that can must do something. And so I applaud city council and the city of Grover Beach for taking really a lead in this and making one of the first steps to really create a solution. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Dalebout, for those comments. And so next we'll bring up Ms. Nichols for some comments. Always good to see you, and I look forward to seeing you along with many others on April 2nd at the Five Cities Homeless Coalition Golf Tournament.
Yeah, and I'm such a golfer, too. You're going to be so excited. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you this evening. And I certainly want to echo the comments of our board chair, Ken Dale, about I think really my comment is, as you know, I've been slogging through this a long time. And I am thrilled at this opportunity. I especially want to thank city staff, Mr. Buckingham and Mr. Bronson and others for helping make this happen. Where we go from here, I think, is something we as a community and communities need to figure out. I don't have all the answers of where that might be. I think there's some additional discussions that we need to have about what our collective ideas are. But as Mr. Dalebout said, this is but one of many actions that we're going to need to really take to address this issue. And for that, I also want to say to the community, we are here at their service. I don't have all the answers. I don't own homelessness, but we have a pretty tremendous staff dedicated to trying to address issues, and I certainly invite the community to contact us at our office if we can be of assistance or help them better understand some of the complexities that we're dealing with. So thank you. Otherwise, I'm here for this. Any questions?
Great. Very good. Thank you, Ms. Nichols. So next, I'd like to invite the two county representatives. Let's start with Mr. Joe Dzwonek. So, and Mr. Dzwonek, I think I know how to spell your last name, but if you would, just as a matter of, for our city clerk, if you would just spell it for us, please.
It's, I'll do it phonetically. D as in Delta, Z as in Zulu, V as in Victor, O, N as in November, I, K. Okay,
welcome. You're good. Thank you, sir. Right. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thanks for having me here tonight. As you can tell by my phonetic alphabet, I come to the county from pretty much a little over 20 years in the military, and I was fortunate enough to be able to come here to this location and work on the issue of homelessness. As a career military person, you'd imagine I've been around the world a few times, lived in many other countries, saw a lot of bad things and a lot of bad places. And when I retired, and I actually came here to work at Cal Poly for a few years and teach military science and leadership there. So I was very fortunate. But while living here, that's when this was the first community I've really belonged to since high school, really. And then I noticed the problem of homelessness growing. So I really felt compelled to get involved and try to solve it. It's clearly not a local issue. It's a national issue. In my mind, and it's probably not even true, but I always feel like as the disparity of wealth in this nation grows, you know, the GDP grows and everybody can get a little wealthier. But as the disparity of wealth grows, I think essentially for every billionaire you get, the new billionaire we get, we probably get a couple thousand new homeless people to share that, you know, in that scheme of wealth. So I am here, like you said, very proud of what I'm seeing in Grover Beach. Makes me happy to see your council so active, kind of leading the way on addressing this issue in the community. And as the county principal analyst for homelessness, I really look forward to working with you and Mr. Bronson, great city manager, developing a regional solution to this problem. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So next, I'll invite up Mr. Jeff Almashot, county representative as well. And I will, as he comes forward, I will acknowledge that thank you for your service on the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission. And I also didn't get a chance to acknowledge Ms. Cassie D., who's also one of our Parks and Rec commissioners here earlier. So I did want to say thank you for that as well, but you are here in your county capacity.
I am here in my county capacity, but I'm very pleased to be in front of all of you tonight. I think this is a very important initiative, and I'm very supportive of it. I know many of you because I am a resident of Grover Beach, but I've worked around the county on homeless issues. We saw a huge impact when we opened a homeless shelter in Paso Robles. They, too, were a community that did not have a homeless shelter. We saw a significant impact immediately when we opened the facility. So I support this wholeheartedly, and I don't think you could have a better person leading it than Janet Nichols. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So let's turn to the audience, see if there's anyone else, any member of the public in the chambers that wants to speak on this item. Please come forward. Seeing no one come forward, let me turn to our city clerk and see if anyone has called in at 805-321-6639 for public comment on this item.
Yes, we have Krista Jeffries.
Good evening, Ms. Jeffries. Let's see if we can shorten your minute and a half trial presentation this time.
Maybe not.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great.
Thank you.
I think a lot of the speakers who came before me have already said a lot of the things that I was going to say, which is that Jana is great and the city has done, our city, Grover, has done more for homeless housing and homeless issues than a lot of wealthier and larger cities with more resources. And so I always brag about how pragmatic and forward-thinking Grover is on this issue. Just wanted to take a quick minute to remind everyone that homelessness is inherently caused by high housing costs. And even if we were to somehow magically house everybody who is currently unsheltered right now, that bucket would get refilled in a matter of weeks because people are just not able to keep up with housing costs. And the best way to drive those costs down is to build more homes. So I hope that you will continue with this effort to get everybody who is unsheltered a good place to lay their head and to address housing overall as a system. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So let me turn back to our city clerk, see if there's anyone else on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and close public comment on this item, bring it back to the council for additional questions, comments, and or who's ready for a motion. Oh, actually, I'll turn to our city attorney first. Mr. Hale.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I did do a check on the interim final review or the final rule related to the implementation of ARPA funds, and money received directly from the Treasury used for ARPA implementation is not subject to NEPA. It's only subject to NEPA to the extent that there may be federal funding from other sources than this. To my knowledge, unless staff or someone else corrects me, there is no other funding other than ARPA.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. And I'll turn to Ms. Nichols to say, hopefully you just memorized what Mr. Hale just told you. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Hale. So we are good to proceed with the recommended action, should we so choose. So let me turn to Councilmember Miller, see if you had any questions, comments, or next steps.
I'm ready to make a motion, but I'll wait a minute in case my colleagues have questions or comments.
Very good.
Yeah, I'll just make a quick comment to thank the Five Cities Homeless Coalition for being here tonight and for being part of our solution to this homelessness issue that's not plaguing just our city and community, but nationwide. We could not have asked for a better partner in this. Thank you.
Very good. Let me turn to Councilmember Robert.
Just comments. Also, thank you, Jana, for being here, and all the rest of you as well for all your contributions to the homeless situation. It is a very, very serious thing, and I wish that we can do the right thing in moving forward with this. So, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, Grover Beach is incredibly blessed, I think, to have so many people in this room that are all working toward this goal. So I feel blessed to be a part of you at this point as well. Jana, you're a force of nature, and with your guidance, maybe we'll be able to make a little bit of an impact in this national issue that we have. But I have nothing more to say on that, and this is a very long motion. So,
very good. Let me just add and echo the support of and the comments from my colleagues as well, to say thank you to the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, their entire staff, their board, Ms. Nichols, for all of the unwavering support that you give to the communities. And this is kind of another representation of Grover Beach taking action with partners. So between the county and the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, it takes a proverbial village to create a proverbial village. And we look forward to continuing to work on this effort, as it is a major city goal. Our community and our residents have informed us, told us, implored us to make sure that we keep this in the forefront, and I think this action is the next step towards being able to do that. And I for one look forward to other next steps to make sure that this comes to fruition. And with that, I'll turn to Councilmember Miller to try.
Thank you. So I'll move to approve acquisition of property at 955 South 4th Street. With the intent to enter into a long-term ground lease with Five Cities Homeless Coalition to develop and operate a homeless housing facility. Thank you.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second, and just for confirmation, that includes all of staff's recommendations, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mr. Hale, you were moving forward. Just want to make sure. Very good. Okay, so we have a confirmation on a first and a second. Any other comments? If not, Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright is absent. Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for work on getting us to this point. Let me turn to our city manager just to make sure there's no other action direction that you need from us on this item tonight.
No, sir. I thank the council for your approval of this item. This is one more step forward that our community is taking to address housing and homelessness. And I want to thank the Five Cities Homeless Coalition for their steadfast partnership, for the county for their role, and just to know that staff is very focused on making a significant impact on this issue.
Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you all. So that concludes work on item number 11, which takes us to our second round of public communication. So where any member of the public can address the council for period, again, not to exceed 3 minutes of any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So let me turn to our city clerk, see if anyone is on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will turn to members, anybody in the chambers this evening, see if anyone has want to make a second round of public comment. Seeing no one come forward, actually, I thought Nan was moving there for a second. Okay. Very good. Then I will close public comment and bring it back to the council for committee assignment reports. Let's start with Council Member Robert.
I'm sorry, could you start at the other
I'll start
end,
with Councilmember Rushing.
I have no committee reports.
Very good. Councilmember Miller.
Nothing to report this time. Thank you.
And Councilmember Robert, it's back to you.
I did have a meeting with the Integrated Waste Management Systems, and unfortunately, I do not have the note here, but basically, we approved some the rate increase that we discussed last month of 5.4%, I believe, for the rate haulers. And we also have developed a brochure pamphlet for the new integrated waste management. Here we go. CEO. So if you know of anyone that would be interested in running the Integrated Waste Management Authority, please steer them their direction. We went over budget reviews and decisions, including the consideration to modify the freeze that we had on September 8th, and that was passed. We also received tenant improvement for a fee for the rate haulers, which I just mentioned, and we also completed a resolution for 2022 authorizing for the Cal Recycle grants, so those will be going forward. And for more information, or if you're interested in that position, just go to the IWMA.com, and that information will come up, and you can see the brochure of what they're looking for.
Great. Very good. Thank you, sir. So I didn't have any committee assignment reports that had any action. So let's go to council communications. Let me start with Council Member Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things, a little tie-in dovetail with one of my assignments with the South County's Chambers of Commerce. Just wanted to mention that Grover Beach Grover Beach resident Nicole Moore is the new acting CEO of the operation. She's been filling in a great deal over the course of the last year, and I'm really excited to see where she's taking this at this point. And secondly, on a personal note, it is really weird to hear your own voice. I've been on Zoom calls for 2 years right now, and hearing the voice come from on high is a little bit terrifying. So if my voice stammers a little bit, you know why. But I'm incredibly, incredibly excited to be back here, or actually here. Hi. Thank you all for coming out today, and I look forward to many, many, many more of these meetings.
Very good. Thank you.
Did you just take a picture of me?
Let me turn to Council Member Miller, see if she has any council communications.
Nothing for me. Thank you.
Very good. Council Member Robert.
Yes, as many of you know, I'm affiliated with the Exploration Discovery Center in Grover Beach, and I handle their electronic waste there. And we've been approved by the city to possibly have a donation once a month for we get a lot of electronics at work. Unfortunately, we just focus on the TVs. So if anyone's interested in large screen TVs for $25 to $50, They can come once a month on a Saturday. I'm not sure when they're starting it yet because we still got some paperwork to finish up. But once a month, they can come and make a donation to the exploration station, which the other day had 90 children there. 90 children in one day. Yeah, they've done a fantastic job of bringing that back to life again. It's a great community center for Grover Beach, and it would certainly help with the operational cost if people could come and donate. And with that donation, they also get the TV. If it doesn't work, they can bring it back and get another one, because you never know what's wrong with them. But most people, they're just upgrading their TVs, and they can't find anyone to give the old TV to, and they're nice flat-screen TVs. So pass the word. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So just a couple communications for me. I did mention it during the last item, but the Five Cities Homeless Coalition is having a supportive golf tournament at the end of Grand Avenue on April 2nd. I know they are always a great opportunity to come out early in the morning and play a nice nine holes of executive golf and then have a good lunch to support a good cause. So there is another golf tournament that's occurring for some folks that live in Grover Beach that are putting on. It's called Knowing You Matter, and you can find out more information at knowingyoumatter.org. It is to raise awareness for suicide prevention. And so this is an interesting golf tournament, and the fact that it can play Monarch Grove, but it's pretty much any time in April. So you do have to sign up and get a tee time and get appropriate notification of when you're going to do that. But it's not on a particular day. You can do it any time throughout the month. So, and then just last council communication is so Jennifer Rushing, a teacher over at Central Coast New Tech, has been nominated for the 2022 Women's Wall of Fame for Slo County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls. So I did just want to do a quick shout out to her, Councilmember Rushing. So that there will be a presentation on this Saturday, March the 19th, for that. And so we'll look forward to hearing more information from her on that. So with that, that concludes my council communications, except for what I wrote down, which I forgot to say, which was congratulations to Apogee Brewing, who had their grand opening over the weekend. With some great food by Surfside Deli, some great live music, and some great numbers of attendance, and then because I see Miss D in the audience, I did want to say congratulations, and also to Miss Erickson for all of those that are attending the South County Leadership Program Class 3. So third year, we do have several staff members from the city who are participating, as well as Parks and Rec commissioners and local business owners. So looking forward to hearing more about that program as the year progresses. So with that, I will turn it over to our city manager for his reports and comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just building on that last comment, we're delighted to have four individuals affiliated with our city organization in this year's program. In addition to Ms. D from the commission, we have Mayor Pro Tem Bright, we have Deputy City Manager Erickson, and Capital Projects Manager Aaron Wiggin. So Grover Beach is very well represented in this year's class, and we're delighted to help sponsor our employees, and we look forward to their development and further connections across South County through this program. And continuing with the business theme, I wanted to highlight that we just have wrapped up the first month of the Buy Local program. This innovative, unique program, which I hear from other cities about how great the program is, will run through the end of April. We have 30 businesses now signed up for our program, which is higher than last year. So we have exceeded the number of businesses for which you can receive a gift card if you spend $100 or more. So just a great opportunity to support our businesses and to really help show the strength of our business community. And keeping with that theme, building on the mayor's comments, we also are delighted to welcome Apogee Brewing Company. Great event, great grand opening. They took over from Bittersweet Brewing Company, which also was a fantastic local business. They built out the space, they added capacity, and then they turned the keys over to somebody else who will be taking it and running with it. So just a great example of our thriving business community. We've had several new businesses in the last 6 months. We have several others that I hear are going through the process. So a very strong business community and lots of new businesses coming on board and supporting our great community. And Apogee will enjoy a brand new road on South Oak Park Boulevard. We just wrapped up the street repair project a couple of weeks ago. It looks fantastic. It's a beautiful design that incorporates pedestrians, cyclists, drivers, and trees, a landscape median, all in a beautiful residential boulevard from Grand Avenue to Mentone Avenue. So just kudos to the council for its vision in creating a true boulevard in this six-block stretch of South Oak Park, and we'll see how the future of South Oak Park looks south of Mentone Avenue in future years. And we're also wrapping up our current K-14 street project on 20 blocks of streets right around Grover Beach Elementary School. Again, we're building a better city each and every day. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. And I'll just also share that there were a number of very positive comments that I received when I did go to the grand opening. People came up and said, wow, that was a mess during construction, but it looks great now. I love South Oak Park. And so there is always that short-term disruption for the long-term improvement. And I think that's one of the things that the community we've heard you. We're trying to keep that disruption to a minimum, but now you can see the results of the hard work that we've been doing, and everybody has the benefit of that. So with that, let me turn to our city attorney, see if he has anything to share this evening.
Nothing this evening.
Very good. Then we do not have any closed session this evening. So before I adjourn, I just do want to say one great big thank you and welcome back. So great to have you guys up here. Great to see staff. Great to be able to see people in the audience and actually look at folks rather than at a screen and figure out where on the screen the talking head is. It's nice to be back here. And with that, we will see you all again on the 25th. Nope, 29th. 28th. So whatever 14 plus 14 is, that would be March 28th. So we are adjourned until then. Thank you, everyone.